The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
The crowd came together again so that Jesus and his disciples could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons he casts out demons." And he called them to him and spoke to them in parables. "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, 'He has an unclean spirit.' Then his mother and brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, 'Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you.' And he replied, 'Who are my mother and my brothers?' And looking at those who sat around him, he said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. In the springtime each year, we set aside certain days for special recognitions of certain people. Now, next Sunday is Father's Day. Last month held Mother's Day. You might say Kids' Day is every day, at least the kids think so. But the basic focus on all these days is the family. Summer is coming and family vacations are often on the calendar in many homes. Oh, there are camps for boys and camps for girls, and even some for adults at Chapel Rock, our diocesan retreat center. Yet families often plan things together. Families are important for the growth of each member. Family gatherings can be the way to learn relationships beyond the home. Now, sometimes those family gatherings can be great, other times they can be a disaster. When I was a kid, we had very few large family gatherings. My father had a lot of siblings, and my mother had two, and all of them had a lot of kids. Rarely did all the family gather in the same place at the same time, because it could be dangerous. I recall one Christmas where we tried it and turned out to be a disaster. Everyone got drunk, and old grievances long buried were unearthed. One uncle had married another uncle's fiancée when he was gone to the war, and having those two uncles at the same place at the same time was a recipe for disaster. And plenty of other old wounds were unearthed. When the dust settled, finally, and everyone cooled down and more or less got along, but I think that was the last time any such gathering was tried, and for very good reason, which turned me off on family gatherings for a long time. Now, don't get the wrong idea. Most of the time, each of those families got along beautifully on their own, but get them together, it could be toxic. The problem lies in the image of perfect family, for the idea of a perfect father and a perfect mom and problem-less kids just doesn't often end up in reality. Getting along with each other is the necessary goal, and that takes a lot of patience and a lot of love and a lot of understanding. Now, very often, a lot of the time, the church is described as a family. Like our families of origin, we strive to unite, work together, pray together, for by baptism we are born into this special family. And we pray and get along with each other as much as possible. It doesn't always work, as in our daily families, we need to care about each other. But dissensions sometimes rise in the church family. As Mother Heather said so well last week, we at times get critical of each other. Some get to think they are smarter, more aware of problems than others, that they are better than others. But when the unity of the family, the unity is the lifeblood of the organization, the important thing that bonds people together, each one of us, no one is accepted. Each one of us needs to recognize the importance that he or she plays. There are two words which could describe any congregation, in particular ours at Christ the King. Those two words, which look very similar to each other, are united and untied. And the importance of these two words lies in one letter, the placement of the I, where the I is located, where I am located. Am I a force for united, or am I the cause of untied? And it's very important to realize where you lie with this particular aspect, you might say, and what you are and what you do. And pray that your spiritual energy lies in having yourself, I, on the side of unity, not the side of dissolution. It is a family affair, the life we share at Christ the King, and needs to be your top priority and my top priority as we relate to each other week by week, year by year, on a spiritual journey to experience God in Christ, to be the family that God would have us be. In the gospel a few moments ago, we heard these words, and Jesus replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." It seems that from the very start of his ministry, Jesus met opposition. His words and ideas caused great concern and anger from the leaders of his own faith community. Last week, we reflected on the Sabbath day, which had many rules by which no one could break without defiling the Sabbath day to make the Sabbath day holy. Now, one of these rules was no work be done. Anything that could be classified as labor was wrong. Well, Jesus and his disciples managed to break many Sabbath rules, walking more than a certain distance, picking grains of wheat, and worst of all, healing someone. Jesus and thus his disciples who followed his lead were doing work, as all of these are classified as work, which was specifically prohibited. The Pharisees, who were strict adherents to all the laws of the faith, saw Jesus as disrespecting these laws, however unfair or ridiculous they might seem. And people gladly followed what Jesus said and did, often setting those Sabbath rules aside. But it didn't stop there. His enemies' anger finally proclaimed what seems ridiculous at first, that Jesus accomplished his miracles and got his inspiration not from God, but from the prince of darkness, from Satan, the power of evil. Now, this is an accusation which Jesus quickly undid. Evil, to defeat evil, Satan, to stop satanic works. But Jesus then moved the argument to an ultimate level, to what he called an unforgivable sin. When you are so caught up in hatred that you brand as evil what is clearly good, that you refuse to accept God's presence and power in things that you see going on, and instead call it bad, in order to escape the obligation to follow God, to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. It is tempting to refuse to see God's hand in the good things in our world around us, a willful ignorance or pride. It is a deadly choice, and Jesus points this out clearly. His words and actions were compelling, and some were amazed, and some were confused, and someone, like the scribes, angered. And then there was his family. They were desiring to get him away from the place, from what might turn into a dangerous situation. Jesus knew his family was there, but he continued proclaiming what it meant to follow his path, the radical path of acceptance of everyone, all, as God's children. And he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." I actually can't imagine what Mary felt about this and the rest of his family to hear Jesus say something like this. And I really wonder what the conversation with his family was like once they got him alone after this. He, of course, did not mean to insult them, but his message was profound. To accept him and his vision was to be part of a new family like none other. And thus it is today for the church, this community, Christ the King, right here. And for the church, this community gathered here, we are a family, united and linked to each other. To live into the reality that you and I are united as brothers and sisters, and accept the fact that in Christ we have entered, you and I, into a true family of God, linked to and responsible to and for each other, and to welcome all who come here, behaving as brothers and sisters of Jesus and each other. As noted in a meditation in Forward Day by Day last week, we are as close or closer to Jesus as his own family members when we seek to do the will of God in our lives. And that will is to strengthen our ties to each other, united, not broken apart, and to care for and include all others, however similar or different from us in thoughts or belief, by living into this radical new family which our Lord has founded. Well, as true as all of that may be, the truth is that sometimes members of the family disappoint us or irritate us, no matter how much patience we have. Like the story of the boss who needed to call one of his best employees for some information on a Saturday morning. The phone rang and a small voice answered, "Hello." "Oh, hello, Junior," the boss said. "Can I talk to your daddy?" "No," the kid replied. Puzzled, the boss asked, "Why?" "He's busy," was the answer. A little irked, the boss said, "Then can I talk to your mommy?" "No," replied the voice again. "Why not?" demanded the boss. "She's busy too," came the response. "Is there any adult I can talk to?" the boss asked. "Well, there is a policeman, but he's busy too." "What's he doing?" the boss said, beginning to get worried. "Oh, he's talking to mommy and daddy and the firemen." His anxiety mounting by the moment, the boss heard a whirring sound in the background. "What's that?" the boss queried. "That's a helicopter," the voice replied. "What's it there for?" "Bringing the SWAT team," the little voice answered. Now very alarmed and very concerned, the boss said, "What are they all doing?" The voice said, with a definite giggle, "They're looking for me." Now that kid is in due for major grounding once his folks catch up to him. Now for us in the family of Jesus, the church, such situation as that certainly will probably never come our way. But occasions in the church for forgiveness, for love, and understanding of each other are truly before us all the time. Accepting and building this unique family to become the family which Jesus founded. For in Christ, we do have the grace, we do have the spiritual energy to meet any obstacle which may untie us and get rid of it, and the grace to build us into what unites us. And remember, I is at the center of this for you. What I am, what you are, counts in this challenge, you might say, to become the family of God. This is God's will and desire for us, and it is a goal enabled by the love and the Spirit of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.